Tantramar counselors chose last night to let a proposed bylaw that would have set standards related to vegetation and plants on residential properties die on the vine. The bylaw originated with a request from then-Councillor Matt Esterbrooks, which council passed back in September. But when Assistant Clerk Becky Goodwin presented the bylaw last week, some councillors expressed concerns over the potential loss of habitat resulting from some of the provisions in the proposed standards. And then they started to hear from residents. Mayor Andrew Black says he received over 20 letters on the topic, and seven people showed up Tuesday evening to address council in person, citing their concerns.
The proposed bylaw overreaches its intent, is based on unproven or invalid assumptions, and does not reflect the overall perspectives and priorities of our community. It is unnecessary and should be withdrawn, and efforts made instead to address the localized concerns expressed by Councillor Esterbrooks through more targeted and less draconian measures.
If this bylaw would go through, you'd have to come to my property every single year, and I think the fines would mount to thousands and thousands of dollars, because I would not be willing to change the approach that we have at home to the biodiversity and to nature and how we keep our property.
Lawn maintenance bylaws are notorious for preventing good people from making positive choices to have less intensively managed yards. And these bylaws are prone to being misused in neighbor disputes that are not really related to vegetation. This bylaw infringes on property rights based on aesthetics and non-issues. We do not have overgrown vegetation causing human poisonings or rat infestations or any other major problems in Tantramar.
Climate change adaptation is very much about creating and maintaining complex natural systems. Bylaw 2025-17 would create the contrary of that, allowing a sanitized monoculture which would not benefit natural systems or the health of our residents.
In 2022, we became accredited under the United Nations Convention on Wetlands of International Importance as a wetland city. And what that says to me is that the town is dedicated to wetland biodiversity. And, you know, I commend everybody who's been involved in that, in, you know, the waterfowl park, the stormwater retention ponds, the quarry project, do a great job of conserving wetland biodiversity. But what this proposed bylaw does is the exact opposite for upland biodiversity.
Eliminating habitat for rodents is pretty much impossible without also eliminating habitat for beneficial wildlife. For example, bees, butterflies, birds, bats, who provide us humans with important ecosystem services ranging from pest control to enjoyment, improved mental health, and food through pollination as well. Beneficial wildlife need dead vegetation to complete their life cycles. So removing dead vegetation is going to directly harm those animals.
Thus, we have concerns that the bylaw does not reflect proper use of the climate lens, and that by implementing this bylaw, the municipality would be moving farther away from its climate goals, almost done, reflected in the climate lens. These are stormwater management, thriving natural assets, climate adaptation, and climate leadership. Therefore, we urge Council not to approve the bylaw, and further, ES would be happy to offer assistance in crafting another bylaw that meets concerns of Council without compromising environmental and climate goals.
That's Barb Clayton, Board Chair of local environmental NGO EOS EcoEnergy, speaking against a proposed vegetation bylaw on Tuesday night. Before her, you heard Mira Dietz-Chasson, Gary Donaldson, Margaret Ann Capper, Sean Blaney, Sabina Dietz, and Richard Elliott. Councillors seem to have taken what they read and heard about the proposed bylaw seriously, because when it came time to put the bylaw up for discussion, no one was willing to second a motion from Deputy Mayor Matt Esterbrooks. Mayor Black called twice for a seconder to advance the bylaw to first reading, and then moved on to the next item on the agenda. Esterbrooks declined to comment after the meeting, but Councillors Greg Martin and Mike Tower were on hand to explain their lack of support.
I am a country boy. I've lived in the country all my life, and I live in Olaka. Ward 5 is very rural, and I just feel that if you drove through my ward, you would notice that a lot of people have very nice lawns, but behind their houses is a place for the wildlife and the butterflies, and I couldn't see a bylaw that would really stop people from enjoying their properties the way that they feel they should. I know I'm one of them.
And you didn't think, like, okay, this is a bylaw that can be tweaked and changed to make it work? You just thought, well, we better not go there?
Yeah, I thought, better not go there. Because I think that 99% of the people take very good care of their properties as they are. I mean, I go through my ward. I drive all over my ward. And people are out mowing the lawn. They're taking care of their properties, and they're picking up after themselves. And but then if you go down around by the barn, it's altogether a different thing. But that's their livelihood. That's their life. And I just don't know why we as councillors would, want to try and tell these people how to take care of their properties. It's pretty passionate about that. So, yeah.
I found that the bylaw was just too vague. If you're going to be speeding on the highway, you know what you're doing when you're speeding, and the RCMP can pull you over. Here you could be walked up to and said, I'm fining you for this. And for what? That's a dangerous plant. I said, the noxious and poisonous? Rhubarb's poisonous in ways. So it was just, we were going in a rabbit hole we shouldn't have gone. I understand the thought pattern behind it, as in safety around houses and... But I think otherwise, if people looked at my property, if you got beyond the trees, you'd see up front I have fairly tall grass. I let it grow. I have deer that come into there and eat the grass. I grow sunflower seeds, and that's for the bees, and that's for the birds. So I get all my brush that I put to the back of the property, and birds make nests in there. So I just thought, no, it's kill this one and find another way to address it. So I'm glad it died. So.
That's Councillor Michael Tower speaking after Tuesday's council meeting, where a proposed vegetation standards bylaw failed to get to first reading. Richard Elliott is one of the residents who rallied others to speak out against the proposed bylaw. CHMA asked him if he was surprised by Tuesday's result.
I wasn't surprised because I think this council was really listening, and I spoke to several councillors over the past few days, and they really welcomed the fact that we provided them with information that made them reconsider their perspectives on it. So, no, I was not surprised, but I was very pleased that it was unanimous.
When did you first hear about this bylaw?
I heard that back in September that there was an interest in having a bylaw like this, but I didn't realize it was happening until... We saw the Work Times just came out and let us know that it was moving ahead. And at that point, I realized that it was very counter to what we were trying to do in our town. So I encouraged many people I know to comment and provide feedback to council, and a lot of them did. I think over 20 letters so far to the councilors.
So, I mean, and you're sort of the engine behind this then, like why we had so many presentations.
I independently responded, but I poked the bear, and I asked a lot of people to at least think about it and decide where they wanted to contribute, and told them how to do so, provided them with the emails and that sort of thing. But left it up to them to decide how to proceed. But I sort of took the initiative.
All right.
I think it was a very positive result, and I think it reflected the overall opinion of certainly those in the room and probably of town as a whole.
Yeah, we couldn't have asked for better, to be honest, and great to have the opportunity to highlight the importance of urban biodiversity and how we can work to enhance that and sort of alleviate people's fears that they might have, because there's always been that sort of people separate from wildlife scenario, and maybe this is an opportunity for us to knit that together into the future.
Yeah, it was very heartening that there were so many people that came out to speak up about this. You know, it was a problematic bylaw, and it was also heartening that the council recognized it and that they didn't second the motion was interesting. I don't know. I haven't seen that before, so that was interesting. So, it's heartening for me because there's so many scientists in town that have so much expertise, and as a person who's not a scientist myself but works on environmental issues, I just feel like it's really great that people came, those people who spent their time, their spare time, to come out and speak up about this. So, yeah, it's great. And it's just really great to be in a community with so many people that care.
That's Barbara Clayton, and before her, Gary Donaldson and Sean Blaney, speaking after Tuesday's council meeting. This is Erica Butler, reporting for CHMA Sackville and the Local Journalism Initiative.